Hello, welcome to Pizza Paradiso. What would you like?
Hello, and Merry Christmas to you.
Right back at you.
You're not Arthur, are you?
Nah, Arthur's not on today.
Oh well, Merry Christmas anyway.
What would you like?
I don't want a pizza. I just came in to give Arthur this Christmas card.
Oh.
Sort of thanking him for his appearances on a magazine programme that I present.
Oh, right. We've got a deep pan festive special you might like. Chestnut stuffing, onion gravy and marzipan. Extra toppings at half price.
No thanks, I'll have to give that a miss. My programme's about to start and I'd better be at the microphone.
Oh yeah.
Hello, and welcome to Cromford's Festive Casual Collection. If this programme were a drink, it would be a wassail with bits of apple and orange floating around in it. If it were a foodstuff, it would be a dense plum pudding. If it were a plant, it would be a thicket of mistletoe. I promise not to look while you're doing whatever it is you do under mistletoe. Carry on, don't mind me. Apropos nothing at all, what are the typical sounds of this season for you? Do you go for a peal of church bells? Or do sleigh bells get you all twinkly-eyed? Where do you stand regarding hammered dulcimer? No mistaking the tune there. Joy to the World. You were listening to Glenn Morgan and a buddy or two. Morgan's a virtuoso of the hammered dulcimer. He's got a slew of CDs out on sale. And my then fiancé and I had the pleasure of meeting him back in 1999 on his busking patch in Ghirardelli Square in San Francisco. Nice chap. ran his home as a sanctuary for injured and traumatised parrots for a while. That's just by the by. Pardon me a moment, I'm delivering a season's greeting.
They're never too short if you've got the figure for them.
Hello, Mr. Pettifer.
What? No, no, Dillis. I've come to my front door. Somebody's here.
Mr. Pettifer?
Dillis, call me back in 10 minutes. Bye. Is it you?
Is what me?
Are you Arthur?
No.
You sound a lot like Arthur.
No, my name's Paul Cromford. I just dropped by to give you this Christmas card.
Oh, thanks.
And to thank you for appearing on my magazine programme last October.
Magazine programme?
Cromford's Casual Collection. You were in the third edition.
Was I? Was I indeed? I haven't the foggiest idea what you're talking about.
Surely you haven't forgotten. You could hardly forget forking out £25 for a pizza for a start.
How did... Who the... Oh, Christ, is this a bloody special branch type thing? Have you been bugging my house?
It's not as straightforward as that.
Straightforward? I've got to go and turn my house upside down to find your nasty surveillance equipment, and you tell me it's not straightforward. Get off my property right now before I...
Before you turn me into a gerbil, like the priest.
Offski, now.
Well, he's a lot pricklier than I'd painted him.
Jethro Tull frontman Ian Anderson is on record as loving the English winter and the festive season in particular, and it shows in a lot of his songwriting. Hear the hoarfrost and the nip in the air on the next track. Also on Tull's 1977 album Songs from the Wood, this is the 1976 single Ring Out Solstice Bells.
Bring out those bells.
course, many people take the opportunity in December to celebrate the birth of a Jewish lad in Palestine, and even though he lived and died about 2,000 years ago, those people claim some sort of affection for him. So much so that they try to plonk him centre stage in our winter celebrations. But he's up against some stiff competition. The Jews also have Hanukkah, an 8-day festival that drifts around this end of the calendar and involves lighting of candles and ritual eating of fatty foodstuffs. Buddhists celebrate Bodhi Day, commemorating Buddha's moment of dawning enlightenment, on December the 8th. In Scandinavian cultures especially, St. Lucy's Day, 13th of December, is marked by processional singing, lighting of candles, and ritual eating of spiced foodstuffs. Yaldar Night is an Iranian feast observed throughout the Caucasus region on the 21st of December, the longest night of the year. It involves overnight gatherings of families and friends, keeping each other awake, and ritual eating of miscellaneous fruits. Well, that'll keep them awake. And of course, there's a... Sorry. And of course, there's our own pagan festival, Yuletide, a 12-day celebration that drifts around this end of the calendar and involves lighting of fires, gatherings of revelers, and, you guessed, the ritual consumption of foodstuffs and alcohol. That's my festival, if you're curious. I'm a Yuletide man. Always preferred the idea and the sound of it to Christmas. It promises more fun and frolic, I feel. Here's a very short and sharp musical shock. Barry Coop, Jim Boyes and Lester Simpson sprinting through the Utoxeter Soling Song, dating from the days when Yuletide singers went from door to door, en masse, demanding sustenance with menaces, seemingly. A far cry from today's feeble, "We wish you a Merry Christmas." This one's a feat of aerobic endurance, and it shoves a friendly knife to your throat from the first syllable. And I'm waffling like this because I'm trying to make this introduction longer than the actual song. Have I succeeded?
You gentlemen of England, I'll have you to draw near, for we are come a-souling for your strong ale and beer. God bless the master of the house, the mistress also, and all the little children that round your table go. Likewise your men and maidens, your cattle and your store, and all that dwells within your gates, we wish you 10 times more. Put your hands into your pockets and pull out your keys. Go down into your cellar and draw us what you please. Draw us a jug of ale or your beer that is so brown, and we will drink your health, likewise another to the crown. With walking and with talking we are all got very dry, to try your good nature this night you'll never us deny. This night you'll never us deny of your strong ale and beer, for we'll come no more a-souling until this time next year.
Earlier today I popped down to the studios of Bicky Flicks, our local, very cosy version of Netflix, and visited the cast of the smash hit series Forever Blowing Bubbles in their shared dressing room.
Hello, folks. My name's Paul Cromford, and I'd like to give you...
Hi there. Yeah, we know who you are, and we know why you've come.
Yes, we've been listening to the programme.
Have you?
Yes. Jolly good so far. I can hardly wait to find out what we end up saying.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
I notice that Alec Stranraer's very quiet over there in the corner. Alec?
Don't speak to me, please. I'm getting into the zone.
We never interrupt Alec while he's finding his inner Telfrin.
Right. I'll just leave the cards here, then. Oh, and if I may... A couple of quick questions for the two of you.
Sure.
Fire away, old boy.
What do you want to know?
Well, first of all, Godfrey Daniels Jr., star of the American TV series Irving Fun's Comedy Sausage, 3 Emmys at the last count, what drew you to the fairly minor role of Phobes in Forever Blowing Bubbles?
Well, it's kind of money for old rope, Pa. They said they didn't want me to say much. They just wanted me to emote. So, I emote. In the boat, you might say. I get paid by the whimper.
Could you give us one of your phobe's whimpers now?
Sorry, Paul. Not on my own time.
Fair dues. Now, Sam Jamnose.
Dear boy.
Legend of stage, screen and radio.
Yes.
You've worked with Olivier, Hoffman and Van Damme.
Yes.
You've mentored the up-and-coming Benedict Bandersnatch.
I don't know what went wrong there.
Where did you get that magnificently capacious dressing gown?
This? Oh, Sir Ralph, Dame Peggy and Sir John clubbed together to give it to me. Oh, back in 1975. Token of their esteem. I practically live in it. I'd wear it on the set, but they said that it doesn't fit the character of Commander Hassock.
Yeah, also, it wouldn't fit into our mock-up of the Skipjack.
Shame.
Yes, isn't it? You see all this embroidery down the skirts?
Mm-hmm.
That's not cotton, dear boy. That's hair from the scalps of 500 theatre critics, property developers and estate agents.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crikey.
That taught him, eh?
Yeah?
He's only kidding, Paul.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was only 493 scalps.
Well, yeah. Thanks for the enlightening chat, fellas. I see your 10-minute lamp is flashing.
Oh, yeah. Gotta be on set soon.
So I'll leave you in peace. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, old boy.
This carol always sounds to me like a genuine pagan Yuletide tune, with Christian lyrics tacked on awkwardly. But no, it's probably only about 200 years old. Here's a delicately cascading version by the guitarist Alex Degrassi. The Holly and the Ivy. Thank you. This time of year, you can readily believe that miracles are possible. And it seems to me to be nigh on miraculous that Christmas, as we understand it, seems so coherent and organic. I mean, think about it. You've been opening up the windows of your advent calendar, American marketing wheeze inspired by Lutheran Germans. You've put your tree up, another German custom imported. You've trimmed the lounge with holly, homegrown Yuletide custom. You've posted your cards, more marketing genius. Many of them depicting top-hatted men on stagecoaches in a frost of glitter. Thank Dickens and his Pickwick Papers for that one. You've got your turkey roasting, bird of the New World, and you're awaiting the arrival of St. Nicholas, a munificent 4th century bishop of Asia Minor, transformed into either Father Christmas, transliterated from the French, or Sinterklaas, derived from the Germanic peoples, and reinvented by Coca-Cola in the early 20th century as our old friend Satan. Santa, sorry. Talk about pick and mix. How do we manage to stop going doolally in the face of it all? The late Chris Squire, who for my money was the best and most exciting bass player I've ever heard, made a Christmas album in 2007. It was called Chris Squire's Swiss Choir. I guess mostly because the choir on the album isn't Swiss and didn't belong to Mr. Squire. He was also aided by guitarist Steve Hackett and a few other buddies, and here's their version of Gustav Holst's arrangement of Person in Hodie. I've no idea what the choir's singing, and I don't care. It's Latin and it sounds nice. I had hoped to deliver Christmas cards to Marriott Frinton and Patter Cake Moore, but it seems they've gone up to Pat's holiday cottage in the Scottish Western Isles while Marriott's legs are convalescing. So I had to post their cards. And imagine my surprise, delight, when I found the following message on my answering machine.
Hello, Mr. Cromford.
Yeah, hello, Paul. You can call him by his first name, Pat. I mean, it's not as if we don't know who he is by now.
Oh, I don't feel right calling him Phil just yet. Remember how long it took me to start calling you Marriott, Marriott?
It's Paul, Pat.
What? Paul?
Yeah, Paul.
But I don't understand. I was sure it was Marriott. I've been calling you Marriott for 3 years, and you've always answered to it, my boy.
Oh, no, Pat. I am Marriott, Pat. Phil is Paul.
Who's Phil?
Pat, how much sherry did you have with your Rice Krispies this morning? Phil's the bloke who sent us these nice cards.
Oh, yes, Phil.
Or rather, he isn't.
Sorry?
No.
He isn't what?
He isn't Phil.
I'm sorry?
What's that other four-letter name beginning with a P?
Pete?
No.
Pele? Marriott, can I just stick with the etiquette I'm comfortable with? I'll call him Mr. Cromford.
Oh, whatever floats your Rice Krispies, Pat. Come on, we better hurry up and wish him a Merry Christmas. We've been standing here for ages.
Oh, yes, of course. Mr. Cromford? We'd like to wish you a...
Paul, we'd like to wish...
For the next seasonal song, the tune's the thing, although there is some nice poetry in the lyrics as well. This is Past 3 o'clock, as performed by a bunch of people called the Our Lady of Perpetual Help Chant Choir, of whom I'd never heard until a few days ago. See what you think. It's fitting that we spare a thought now for a few people who've been named after the Christian festival of this time of year. People such as the actor Eric Christmas. He of such high-quality films as Porky's, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, and, Porky's too. Although, it being the family surname, his parents couldn't much help saddling their son with it. People such as Christmas Humphreys, the Buddhist barrister who prosecuted Timothy Evans, Klaus Fuchs, Derek Bentley and Ruth Ellis, all in the 1950s. What, you think I've made him up? I refer you to Anthony Aloysius St. John Hancock in an excerpt from his LP, Pieces of Hancock, in 1960.
So anyway, this copper put a half Nelson on me and marched me off to the station. Came up next morning at Bow Street. Breach of the peace, he said. Well, I was defending myself, of course, so I stood up. Christmas Humphreys was on the bench. Nice fella. You must know him. A little bloke. He wears a wig. You can see the join if you look closely. Anyway, there.
And then there are all those people named for the French word for Christmas. Noël. See, it used to be that people were named with great care by their parents so that their name would carry some significance, even if only to perpetuate a family name or commemorate some part of their pedigree. And so it used to be that if you met someone of either sex with the name Noël, chances were they'd been born around December. To test this, I made a fairly random short list of Noels that I've heard of, and lo and behold, Noël Coward, born the 16th of December. Noël Dyson, actually Elsie Noël Dyson, the actress, born the 23rd of December. Noël Edmonds, born the 22nd of December. Noël Gordon, of Crossroads fame, actually Joan Noël Gordon, born Christmas Day. Noël Langley, the bloke who wrote the screenplay for the Alistair Sim classic Scrooge, Christmas Day. Noël Redding, bass player with the Jimi Hendrix Experience, Christmas Day. And even Noël Harrison, round like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, him. Born the 29th of January, he's within shouting distance of December. But oh dear, whatever happened in the Mancunian Gallagher household? Noël of that ilk, born 29th of May. Almost as far from Christmas as you can get. Somebody always has to spoil it, don't they? Whenever I'm asked what's my favourite Christmas carol, the next tune pops into my head. Intriguing, because the season's all about making jollification, and this melody is in a melancholy minor mode throughout. Go figure. So, some more hammered dulcimer with a Celtic harp, courtesy of Jim Moore and Ariane Lydon. Chime out, God rest ye merry gentlemen. Oh, and no prizes for spotting the snatches of Persanent Hodier that are used as bookends. just one more handful of cards to deliver, if you'll excuse me. Mrs. Eastworth?
Oh, I know who you are. Just a moment. Clinton! It's that man from the internet programme. He won't be long, Mr.
Cromford.
Aye. And I can't stop. You've caught me in the middle of hand-washing Mr. Giggleswick's delicates.
Come in, Mum. Here I am.
Clinton, I'll just be up in the bathroom.
Mr. Eastworth, I presume.
That's me.
I've got Christmas cards here for your mother.
Hey, thank you.
And you.
Oh, thank you very much.
And Harry Giggleswick.
Huh.
Is he not in?
He's down in the cellar, looking for our old Christmas tree. He'll be a while.
Oh, well. Well, thanks again for your contributions to my programmes this year. I'll wish you all a Merry Christmas.
Would you like to hang some on our wreath, just before you go?
Yes, I'd love to. I was very struck by this wreath when I rang your bell. I've never seen one like this.
No, well, it's me own idea. I call it a charm wreath.
Ah.
It's basically a big ring of hooks in a bed of holly. And everyone who comes to the door is invited to hang a charm on one of the hooks.
That's a great idea. I see there's a bottle opener, a metal puzzle from a cracker, a curtain hook, a ring pull, and a bulldog clip.
Yeah, could you hang this on?
Yeah, what is it? A key?
It's the key to the cellar door.
Hey! Is this goddamn door stuck or something?
Like I said, it'll be a while.
Mr. Eastworth, really? So we come to my last musical selection in this programme. And it's my favourite festive record of all time. Just kidding. Come on, be real. Wonderful ruddy Christmas time. Dear old Chris Squire, him again, adapted the Sussex Carol as a simple rock tune, co-wrote a fresh song to play around it, and got together with his Yes bandmate, Alan White, to record the resulting gem in 1981. Listen for Squire's inclusion of the choral descant from David Wilcox's original choral arrangement, 2 minutes and 19 on this recording, and it always makes me want to jump out of my seat and punch the air. This is Run with the Fox.
Take your chance. Run with the fox.
And that wraps up this particular programme. I hope you enjoyed it. I wish you a safe and untroubled festive season. May you experience miracles. And may all your surprises be pleasant ones. I'll be out again on the 7th of January. In the meantime, jingle bye for now. Cromford's Festive Casual Collection was conceived, assembled and presented by me, Paul Cromford. I don't own any of the music in this programme apart from the opening music and the closing music. This was a Paul Cromford production. To butter your parsnips.